All right, today our psalm reading will be in Psalm 17.
Okay, readings out of Psalm 17. It says, a prayer of David. Hear a just cause, O Lord, attend my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit. From your presence let my vindication come. Let your eyes behold the right. You have tried my heart, you have visited me by night. You have tested me, and you will find nothing. I have purposed that my mouth will not transgress. With regard to the works of man by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent. My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped. I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to me. Hear my words. Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who do me violence, my deadly enemies who surround me. They close their hearts to pity, with their mouths they speak arrogantly. They have now surrounded our steps, they set their eyes to cast us to the ground. He is like a lion eager to tear, as a young lion lurking in ambush. Arise, O Lord, confront him, subdue him. Deliver my soul from the wicked by your sword, from men by your hand, O Lord, from men of the world whose portions is in this life. You fill their womb with treasures, they are satisfied with children, and they leave their abundance to their infants. As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with your likeness.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we are just so grateful and so thankful for who you are and that you left us your word that we can study it. And Lord, it speaks for itself sometimes. You wrote it and Lord, I ask that you guide us to put on listening ears as we listen to you, listen to what you do. We ask that what we do today and through days to come, that all that we do be a blessing in your sight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'll go ahead and open up your Bibles to James. We're going to be in James today. We're going to be looking at a very, very familiar passage today that most of us have probably heard at least once or twice. And this is a passage that we will just kind of throw out there to help other people with situations. And today we're going to look at what it means to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Now, as I was studying this, I had to go back and restudy it. And bear with me while we work through this passage today. So we're going to look at James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. And it says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness, rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Again, we have heard this passage used numerous times in conversations. I even remember having flashback to a VeggieTales episode that they used this verse too. We use it to counsel one another when we're having relationship issues. And it gives a believer great advice. And it is, it's truly great advice. The passage focuses on telling the believer what to do and what not to do. So as I was first looking at this passage, I come across the first word when we read it, it says, know this. Like, cool, something we need to know. I was going along and I look at other translations. And I looked at the Greek. And I noticed this passage is up for debate. Because some translations will say, know this. And other translations will say, wherefore or therefore. So if we have a now this, he's talking about know this, here's what's coming up. If you have a therefore, we have to ask, what's it there for? And to find that out, you look previous. And it also kind of threw me off because there's two different Greek words that are very similar that are off by one letter. One is an omicron, one is an iota, basically an O and an I on how you start the word off. So that got me really thinking for hours. That's what I do when I come across things like what is the passage really trying to convey? Because that's what we need to understand is what is the passage saying? So is it either saying, remember what I told you, or is it going into a totally different thought? And you know what? I can't argue for or against any of those. Because what I think what James is saying, he's saying, don't forget what I just told you, referring back to the previous, what we already looked at. And then he's also saying, however, I want you to know this as well. So whether it says therefore or wherefore, or if it says know this, he's saying don't forget what's coming up, but pay attention. Well, don't forget what I said, and also pay attention to what is coming up, because it goes hand in hand. So it's don't forget, but continue reading on. So James is seeking their attention and telling them that they must know the things he is going to teach. He's going into an exhortation is what he's doing now. He's going to teach on how to keep a good testimony for Christ. So most people have heard it said, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. I like this because it tells us to be quick once and slow twice. I like being slow. I don't like getting in a hurry. After going through Billings traffic and have to hurry through that, I would take Sioux Falls any day because Sioux Falls has a whole lot less one-ways. I almost went down the wrong one. So with this passage telling me to be slow twice, I like that. Being slow is good. This also reads like a proverb. Proverbs 15:1 tells us, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Ecclesiastes 5:1 through 2 tells us, guard your steps when you go out of the house of God. To draw near to listen is better than to offer sacrifice of fools, for they do not know what they are doing evil. Do not be rash with your mouth, nor let your heart be hasty to utter a word before God, for God is in heaven and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. Even the Apocrypha are 13 extra books that have been disproven to be the inspired word of God. But here's the deal about the Apocrypha. Very good information. It's almost like a textbook sometimes. It gives a good history of the Jewish people in the 400-year silence between 400 B.C. and 0, or 1 A.D. It gives a good description of that. So in the Apocrypha, the book of Sirach 5:11, it says, be swift to hear and let thy life be sincere. With patience give answer. That's kind of what James was, his style was getting on with this. Now, when we look at the entirety of the context in the book of James, he's actually talking about how we respond to the inspired word of God. Allow me to explain that. This is where I had to go back and really look at things. In the verse previous, verse 18, James 1, 18. He says, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Word of truth, that translates to the gospel message, the saving message of Jesus. So he ended with that, with the gospel. And then when we get to verse 21, Therefore, put away all filthy, rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. So he brings it right back around to the word of God then in the section for next week when we get into it. But be doers of the word. You see how this revolves around Scripture. It revolves around Scripture. So we have the word of truth, the implanted word, and we'll discuss that here in a bit. See, so the text is surrounded with references to God's word. Rather than just taking something out of context like we like to do sometimes, I always get a chuckle, and I shouldn't, but when somebody says, where two or three are gathered, God is with us, and they're referring it to prayer. In the context, he's talking about church discipline. So I always get chuckling, who's getting disciplined today? Where two or three are gathered. So we always have to look into the context, and I can't stress that enough. So James is commanding the believer to do these things when reading Scripture and what it looks like to submit to the Scriptures. So the first one, be quick to listen. Be quick to listen. It also translates to, means believe the word. Believe the word. So when one is reading the word of God or being taught the word of God by one who has been called to preach or to teach, the person should be intentionally listening. But the key thing is being called. If you are listening to somebody who has been called to teach or to preach, listen. Listen, use discernment. If somebody is there just trying to tickle your ears to make you feel good all the time, I would be very, very cautious. I would be not listening to them. But I do because I like to do that kind of stuff to see where other people are going. So be intentionally listening. They are to listen and to obey the instructions they have received from God's word. The believer is to allow God to speak to them when they engage in his word. So when you're reading Scripture, do you ever just take a moment just to sit there and reflect on it? Or do you just read it and then just put a check mark up? Oh, got my reading done. Off to my next thing. Got to go rotate my tires or whatever. Or do you actually sit there and just ponder it for just a minute. Allow God to work through your life, saying, hey, how are you speaking to me through this passage? And just sit there and listen. So that's the first thing the believer is supposed to do, is listen to God's word. The second thing a believer is to do is to be slow to speak. This goes with the first one. You can't be, if you're going to speak fast, you're not going to listen at all. When one listens, they don't speak right away. And if one is speaking all the time, they're not listening. It kind of goes hand in hand. Now, there are some conversations that are fruitless because both parties, both people, want to engage. They both want to talk. So what they're doing is they want the other to listen to them. They got that two-way conversation. And I was thinking about that. I don't mean to pick on anybody, but it's normally women. Women can, four people can be talking, okay? They can listen to everything that's being said. I know some people who can talk, women in particular, because they've got that gift. They can talk on the phone, watch TV, listen to the radio, and respond to their friend, and also know what the kids are doing in the next room. I don't know how they do it. And there could be three of them talking at once, so they can understand everything that's going on. I was talking to two young girls one time, and they were both talking at the same time, 90 miles an hour. And I just got that deer in the headlights looks. My brain just kind of shut off. I didn't hear a word they said. Oh, it was horrible. I felt so bad. But they can, I have a hard time trying to listen to two conversations at once. Even one conversation at one time, I was trying to follow a conversation. I couldn't keep up with her. I was so lost. That's why I like having boys. It's quick, it's simple, not a lot of depth to it. They tell me what needs to be said, and that's about it. But yet, listening and slow to speak. Now, when the phrase slow to speak means to choose one's words carefully when talking about the Word of God in the context. Now, the believer needs to be on point when presenting the Word of God. However, you're not going to have it all figured out, okay? But you need to be on point. If you're going to make a stand on it, you need to know. You can't just rely on what mom and dad told you, what the pastor told you. You need to know where it's at in Scripture. You need to know it's in there. Because I know people who will argue the word of grandma, and that's gold. And grandma could be right sometimes. But you need to know. The believer should be eager to read, listen, and to obey biblical instructions. But be careful when it comes time to present it. So those that are, and this is kind of geared towards those that are called to teaching, that are called to preaching. James 3:1 even reminds us that not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that those who teach will be judged with a greater strictness. So those that are teachers, you better be on point. You better have a good idea in what you're talking about. You better have an idea of the Scriptures. Now, I'm not going to ask you to memorize systematic theology and to make sure all your ducks are in a row with that. I have a hard time with that. I can't expect that out of somebody else that I can't do myself. So if you're going to teach, you first need to make sure that you are called. Because you don't want to mess up God's Word and just promote some sort of heretical teaching, false teaching. You want to be on point. And yes, sometimes you're going to say things that are a little questionable. I've listened to some of the stuff that I've said, like, oh, I said that? Oops. On the minor things. However, I'm also not saying that we can't discuss Scripture. Because we need to be. We need to be talking about it. We need to be discussing it with our friends, with our neighbors, our family. If we have a question with Scripture, yes, ask. Yes, talk about it. And if somebody asks you a question, and you don't know, what's the proper response? I don't know. Yes, I don't know. If you don't know, never guess. However, you're going to run into people like me who's going to ask you, well, what do you think? What do you think with what you know? To get the gears turning in your brain. Then that way we can help each other grow more in Christ, and we can have very fruitful conversations, and then we can have those non-fruitful conversations. Ones where people will take a hard stance on the existence of LGMs, or little green men, from outer space. I know some people who love to debate. There are aliens from outer space. You're going to run into those people, and you know what? It's not something I worry about. I love their opinions, and nobody can back it up with Scripture. Nobody can prove or disprove it. It's one of those things, you can have a good conversation with it, go for it. If they're just doing it to ruffle your feathers, walk away, kind of thing. Or another big one in Scripture is Genesis chapter 6, where they talk about the sons of God and the daughters of men figuring out who they are. Oh, that's a fun one too. But in the grand scheme of things, it's not really worth getting too worked up about, because like I said, there are things in Scriptures that we don't understand. We don't fully know what God is doing. He wrote it. He gave us a taste of things. So we get a vague understanding. If I knew it all, I would be God. I'm not. Even when I have problems with passages, I've got a group of guys that I'll call and discuss things, and they'll either, one, say, Justin, you're kind of off base, or they'll confirm, yeah, it sounds right. It's always good to have that discussion, but he's saying be careful if you're going to teach. Be careful. When one is a pastor or a teacher or a leader in a church, they must be careful with all that they say. Now every Sunday that I preach, I prepare a sermon. I try to keep an eye on the time, too. I don't take it lightly. This I do not take lightly. I get stressed. I take it very serious. I do not use other people's outlines. I do not like doing that because that's for them, not for me. I like to study on my own and allow God to work through that. I do read books on the passage, and that's about 20 hours for sermon study on this before I preach. You see, I take it serious because I want to be a good steward of what of God's gift that he's given to me, what he's called me to do. And I want to make sure that I present his truth. That is why I spend so much time at the office. And that's why I get here about around 6:30 in the morning to prepare for Sunday morning, to make sure that I'm teaching truth. And I'm still going over it. I'm looking through my manuscript and looking through things, and I find all kinds of spelling errors. I find all kinds of words that don't even make sense. Bless Dawn's heart. I send her a rough copy of it so she can get the PowerPoint together. And sometimes I wonder how she does such a good job with the stuff that I type in here. There's just all kinds of things that I take serious for it. What I do is I like to model in Acts. Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 4. It says, now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in numbers, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, it is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you 7 men of good repute, full of the Spirit and wisdom, whom we all appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Now, as I look at that, what they were doing is they were expecting the teaching elders to do extra work. What they are called to do is called to be praying for the people and to be studying the Word and to be in the Word so they can make a better defense, so they can teach. The word for a table, to serve tables, is a deacon. A deacon and a deaconess are table waiters. They are the hands and feet of the church, and they are to serve the church. And that we are so blessed to have a group of people in this church that step up and go that extra mile. If I can't do something or if I need help, I get on the phone and 8 times out of 10, they'll say yes. I've got no number of times, but I just keep going down the list. And that's what the church does. They're supposed to be there supporting each other, working with each other. If I can't go do a visit, I just call somebody and say, hey, can you go visit this person? Because I got swamped with a whole bunch of other things. And that's kind of what it says. The job of the teaching elder is to preach and be in the Word of God. And then do the extra fun things. And I like doing visitations. It's so fun just to get out of the office on occasion, go out there, whether it's in town or going out to the country and seeing the landscape and just seeing for miles. It's kind of nice. And then there are guys who do not spend much time. I'm not telling everybody's got to spend 20 hours studying 4 verses, 5 verses. Some people don't have that time. But there's some who claim to be pastors and teachers who put no time in, who will take 1 hour a week, read through his text, and then talk about their week. I've seen guys do that. And some of those other guys like will get up on stage and they're quote unquote, they say they're being led by the Spirit to proclaim whatever's on their heart without even putting any study into it. That's dangerous. That is so dangerous, not being in the Word and just expecting to teach on it. The teachers and pastors cannot neglect studies. They cannot. God has called the pastor to study and listen to His Word and use it carefully. Use it carefully. You teachers out there, use it carefully. Some of you are getting off the hook today. Those that are not teachers are. And the last command James gives, be slow to anger. Anger is a natural response to situations that are unpleasing. See, it's amazing. People can rub us the wrong way, right? Having to wear a Santa suit. Yes. Yes. And it triggers an emotional response called anger. That response was triggered in traffic sometimes when I'm driving, especially in Billings. I still don't like driving there. Did I make that clear? Okay, good. Good. It's an emotional response. It is something that makes us unhappy, and we choose how to react. It's a choice. It's a choice on how you react. Now, I was working at a mine site in Decker, Montana. And we had a four-hour safety meeting. Oh, I love those. And they stressed that if you say ouch and you don't report it, you're getting kicked off. You will no longer be allowed to be on the mine site. And we got the point pretty clear. So I was getting my truck, and my truck was capable to set up on the rails. And my high rail setup got jammed. And a bolt got caught. So I was underneath there, got a ratchet out. And you know you're laying on your back just pushing up, trying to break it free. What happens when it breaks free right away? You hit something, right? And it's right along here. So I busted my knuckle trying to break that bolt. I did get it loose, though. I did not say ouch, I just threw my wrench. Then I had to go find it. It was a choice I made. A choice that I made on how to deal with that response. Was that the correct thing to do? No, it wasn't my wrench in the first place. But I didn't say ouch, so I didn't report it. I just put black tape and Kleenexes on it, and it was good. However, in the context of our passage today, anger, he is referring to his anger at the truth of God's Word. People get angry when they are confronted by the sin in their lives or when someone corrects false teachings that they believed. And another thing to think about is the gospel. Is that offensive? It offends people. The gospel offends people. It makes them angry. They say, how can Jesus be so arrogant to say that he is the only way? Why can't I do it? See, the problem is people don't accept that. That makes them angry because they have to go through Christ to get to the Father. And they don't like that. They don't like that. So it's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Not many ways. Not many ways. As the world would like you to believe, those coexist stickers, oh, just drive me insane. Some of those religions are told to kill others, and you can't do that. Some people don't want to be told that they are wrong. So they take offense to it and want to hold on to that falseness or that sin. So if you tell somebody, and it better be a good one, it can't be something minor, it better be a good one that you confront somebody on and then help correct it. Another thing is, somebody can really ruffle someone else's feathers when they teach truth that goes against tradition. We sometimes, in my own life, yes, we've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. And somebody shows us another way. Or we've thought something was right this whole time, and here we comes across that we believed a lie. Sometimes that can anger people. See, here's part of a sign of a true believer. The believer needs to reflect on the truth that is being taught, or read and compare it to what they believe. So if you believe something just because you believe it and you don't go to the Word, how can you stand on it? How can you stand? You need to always go back to the Word. What are we standing on? Are we standing on the firm foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or our own ideology to where we slip down a whole bunch of times? You need to make sure where we stand. Now, it hurts to be told when you're wrong, you believe something for so long, and somebody comes up out of the blue, unknowingly tells you that you're wrong and proves you wrong through Scripture. It hurts. But sometimes it needs to be done. And the believer, if they're corrected, they need to be careful on how they react. The correct response is to go back to Scripture and research it for yourself, and to make sure what you're being taught is truth. That way you can discern it. So it's a cycle. So if you're getting mildly angry or upset, go back to do the first thing. What is that? Listen. Listen and be slow to speak. Slow to anger. It's a cycle. Now the anger that produces is man's anger. So if you're going to get really upset that somebody gave you truth, and it is truth, that's man's anger. And it leads you down. The Scriptures in verse 20 tell us that the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. This goes against righteousness and it leads to sin. It's classified as filthiness and rapid wickedness. And then I like that how James is telling the reader to put it away, or the NASB says it better, to set it aside. Now this term to set it aside literally means to take it off. It's giving it an illustration of taking your old dirty clothes off. Like if you've been out working with the sheep all day, or the pigs, or the cows, how are you going to smell? Not pleasant. Not pleasant. You need to take that filthiness off and set it aside and not go back to it. It needs to come off the believer and out of their lives. This word filthiness refers to impurity, and I like the way MacArthur says it, closely related to the term used of wax in ears, of earwax. Now, earwax, does it impair your hearing sometimes? Huh? Yeah. And of course, that makes it appropriate for the context of the passage. If one is not hearing and listening to the Word, be careful cleaning your ears out. Don't stick any objects in there. You're not supposed to do that, I hear. I guess it's bad for car keys to go in there. I'm not sure. I've seen some guys do it with pocket knives. I don't know. So yeah, if you're not hearing and listening, clean out the ears so as to be slow to anger. Take off all the unrighteous anger, clean out, and receive truth with humility, the implanted Word of God. I like how James explains the Word of God. The Word is implanted. It is implanted. It is saying that God's Word is symbolically planted in the lives of the believer and is taking root and growing. And it should be growing. It grows in the believer as they continue to serve Christ. And what to do, it points them to the basics of salvation. It reminds us of the saving power of who Jesus is. Now, I've heard this text, as some of you, preach differently with regards to how people behave around others. I've even used it with that as well. When you're reading Scripture and you're studying, I need you to remember this couple things. There's one interpretation, guys. There's one. The author's main intent. However, there are many applications. Many applications. It can speak to you and change your lives. as this passage that we looked at today, there's nothing wrong with being an open ear to somebody, being quick to listen to somebody's problems, being quick to be there for somebody and hearing them out and being slow to say anything. Nothing wrong with that. It's a good truth. It's a good truth. But in our passage, it's not what James is really saying. It's more implied to the Word of God. See, we need to be careful with Scripture when we're teaching it and when we're using it. So before we go off and think we're all Bible scholars, we need to make sure we have a good idea of the text. We need to make sure that we listen and understand the meaning of it. Now, again, we're not going to understand it all. We all disagree with one another on some part of Scripture, which is good as long as we don't major on the minors. Never major on the minors. It just causes division. But stand strong on the majors. Do not compromise what the Bible clearly teaches. Do not compromise sound doctrine for a lie. There are some, even when I study and I've got my own perception, I don't fully understand why I think that way. But it matches up with Scripture here, here, and here. Could I be wrong in other places? Absolutely. On some of those minor theological topics. Even the study of the church has been debated. When did the church actually start? Been debated. When did this happen? When did... Or the end times. Number of different views on that. However, I'm pretty set in my ways on those, but I love to hear other people's thoughts. I've been to other Baptist churches to where they believe slightly differently than me, which is fine, because Jesus is going to set it all straight later on. I'm just waiting for Him. But we do take stands on certain things. But however, we need to take a strong stand on the majors. Do not compromise sound doctrine for a lie. Now, my question for you, can you defend sound doctrine? Can you defend the basics of the Christian faith? Who Jesus is? What His goal was? Can you defend on what happens to the believer when they pass, or the unbeliever? What happens in the life of the believer? The two natures of the believer. Do you understand the doctrine of even justification? We spent a year on that. But can you stand for the core beliefs of your faith? Are you in His Word? Are you listening to what He's writing, to what He wrote? Now, here's the deal. A mature believer should be able to defend their faith. They should. They should be able to explain what Christ has done, His work. If not, you need to listen more to God and His Word. Set up a reading plan and stick with it. Now, I always tell you, do a reading plan, always. And I don't care how much you read, but take time. Take time, set it aside for God. Listen to God while you're doing it. And not relying on what others taught you without Scripture support. Now, I can't stress how important sound doctrine is to the believers. We are called to defend our faith, because you're going to be asked about your faith. Can you defend it? Can you defend it? Are you in His Word? Are you listening? Are you being slow to speak? Are you being slow to anger? And in this passage, James brings it back around as Christ. He's helping us to build that relationship with God and interacting with God's Word. Now, if you're struggling with your faith and have questions, first go to God's Word and go to a trusted friend, a mature believer. The Bible answers questions that one has. And again, God has given us each other to go alongside, to encourage, to help build up, and to correct. And to correct, if you need correcting, please, please accept it and evaluate it. I've always been told that. If somebody comes up and gives you criticism, always evaluate it. Always. And understand what they're saying. And then see if it's pertinent to your life and what you have done. Because it's, in my life, it's been kind of half and half. I've really dropped the ball on some things and somebody's corrected me. Other times, somebody just got their feelings hurt and wanted to take it out on me, which is fine too. But God has given us one another to be there for each other. Be available for the questions that one may have. Help one another seek Christ. We're the body. The church is the body of Christ. He is the head. We're to be following His lead. Be careful with your speech. Listen to sound instruction. Stand on sound doctrine. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You and we just thank You so much for Your written word. For what You have preserved for us. It has stood the test of time. That we can come to it and we can look and find out who You are. Grow in You. Seek You. Lord, help us to make time for You. Help us to help us with our responses as we look into Your Word. Help us to listen. Help us to be quiet sometimes. And help us to seek Your truth. When we seek Your truth and a lifestyle that You want for us, we are slow to anger. And Lord, we thank You. We thank You for what You have done. We thank You for the work of Your Son, that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, down so we can have a relationship with You. You paid the price. You took the punishment. Lord, You were perfect, and yet You were punished. And that is how You can say that You are the only way. That is the foundation of our faith. Is that You died on the cross for our sins, and that You died and that You rose 3 days later. And we thank You so much for that, that we can have that opportunity to draw close to You, to listen to You, to listen to Your calling. Lord, if there's anybody out here today that has not accepted You as a personal Savior, Lord, I ask that You speak to their hearts, that you call them, that You draw near to them, that You open it up to Your truth, that You are the only way, that You are the only one that forgives sin. Lord, speak loudly to us. And we thank You so much for Your work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Colossians 3, verses 12 and 13. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Amen.